All right. That's the great Hank Crawford on tenor sax with Mr. Blues. And indeed, that's what he's known for. This is from his 1973 album, Wild Flower. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. This is where the program suspends its normal flow, and you take over, and it becomes an open forum where you are going to be freeing your mind, expressing your view on whatever subject you wish. Of course, we know the basic rules. We're not cussing on the air, doing all kinds of things. We don't suspend all the rules. But the main thing is that this is your time to sound out what it is you consider very, very important. We may or may not know it. We may or may not be familiar with your subject. But as long as you make a good case, we will listen to it. And of course, you will hear some reaction afterwards. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We start right away with Harvey from Berkeley.
Hello. Hello,
wonderful. Harvey. How are you doing?
Very good, Eutrice. And I hope that you're feeling fine and enjoying this wonderful day today.
Oh, yes, with a storm brewing.
<All right.
laughs> It's a great day.
Well, my question...
this is life, right?
Uh-huh.
This is life. You cope with everything that is thrown at us. We have to cope.
Yes. Well, my question today is, do you think that the majority of aquatic creatures who live in our rivers, lakes, and oceans have any idea that where the water ends and our ocean of atmosphere begins, that there are several billion people, as well as a plethora of other oxygen-breathing life forms? And there most probably are several highly intelligent marine species like dolphins and whales who know about us air-breathing creatures, but they, in my view, are the exception, not the rule. And this leads me to wonder if we humans have any idea that where our atmosphere ends and the ocean of space begins, that there are untold varieties of life that we call extraterrestrials. And on June 28, 2020, the New York Times published an article stating that the U.S. Navy has officially published videos showing unexplained flying objects, and the Pentagon's recently acknowledged UFO program has been briefing government officials on the possible threat of these advanced aerospace vehicles colliding with our jet fighters and commercial airlines. The Pentagon's recent briefing include off-world materials retrieved from crashes of these unidentified flying phenomena. And the article goes on to state that advanced aerospace vehicles are not made by the Russians or the Chinese or in any other country on our planet, and that these advanced aerospace vehicles are powered by a technology that is truly unexplainable. So after 70 or so years of UFO cover-ups, mostly by the military, our government and the Pentagon are fessing up to the truth that this is a very real phenomenon. It's my belief that if these extraterrestrials and or interdimensional intelligences wanted to destroy extraterrestrial beings, as we
Harvey,
leave the...
You cut out there for a minute and we didn't hear you.
Okay. So after 70 or 80, did you hear that part? After 70 or 80 years, the UFO cover-ups, mostly by the military, our government and the Pentagon are fessing up to the truth, and that this is a very real phenomenon. And it's my belief that if these extraterrestrial or interdimensional intelligence wanted to destroy us, they could have done so a long time ago. And I also believe that we are being monitored by these extraterrestrial beings as we leave the cradle of humanity, our beloved Mother Earth, and take our first baby steps into outer space and set up habitats in other worlds, like our current plans to colonize Mars. Because life works through matter, any matter, it doesn't matter, there's a very good chance that many of these so-called aliens from space don't look like us, as reported by many people who claim to have had contact with extraterrestrial beings. That is why it's so important that we stop our childish game of seeing each other as the other. When we do make official first contact with these other life forms of intelligence, who most probably won't look like us, and we will for the very first time appreciate our similarities to each other. And President Trump is a perfect example of our current state of adolescence. When he and his administration try to make us see each other as the other, to be feared and hated. So as we venture into space and join the Federation of Interplanetary Life, it's time to grow up and see ourselves as one under the sun. And by the way, Utrice, the ETs love your show. It's their progress report on how we humans are doing.
Thank you, Harvey, for your contribution today and for getting us started in the right direction, expressing considered point of view. Jay from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Peace and blessings, Utrice, to you and the beautiful listening family. How are you today?
Thank you. Fine, thank you. I'm hanging in.
Good, good. Oh, that gentleman's comments was very, very interesting, and I believe every word that he's saying, and Minister Louis Farrakhan has been telling us for the last 30 years of the contact that he has with the wheel and how the government knows all about the different life forms that we have. Okay, so that was a very interesting comment. Now, I don't want to talk about the life forms and the different aliens. What I want to do is talk about cryptocurrency and XRT. And I just want to thank you for having Fridays available that we can speak on any subject that we think is going to enrich the family. Okay, so I called a couple of, maybe about a month ago, and I was talking about cryptocurrency. And most people, when you hear of cryptocurrency, most people just know about Bitcoin. And what happened about 3 days ago was the office of the controller that handles all the different currencies and makes whatever the currency legal or not legal, they just told the banks in the United States of America that they can now custody cryptocurrencies. That means when you walk into your bank now, because if I tell people about cryptocurrency or anyone else, and keep in mind I have no financial background and I'm not selling anything. But if you and I would tell people about cryptocurrency, the first thing they think, oh, it's a scam. But guess what, Mr. and Mrs. Jones? In a couple of weeks, when you walk up into your bank, they're going to say, hey, Ms. Jones, come here. We've been looking at it. What was your portfolio? That's if we have any. Mine is very limited, so I just want to make sure, right? They'll say, guess what? The stock market's going down and boom, 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 boom. But now, guess what? You can invest your money in cryptocurrency. So that's going to open up billions of new dollars to come in. So our family, and I think most of us, and I guess maybe I can't speak for most of us, but I think that our family is probably older, working class people, not the super rich, okay? So this is why I want to tell the family, right, that you can get something like XRP, which is now, it just went up to 25 cents a share, and then Zcoin is a penny and a half. You have to understand, people don't get rich by buying Amazon when it's $2,000. But when things are 20 cents or a penny, no one tells us, right? They tell us when the price goes up. Now, Judy Shelton on Tuesday, on the 21st, the House Banking Committee just forwarded her nomination to be on the Federal Reserve Board. Okay, now, Judy Shelton in 2016 was a key figure in the Trump administration getting him to become president. So he sort of owes her a favor. And she believes this, right, because of the debt of the United States dollar, the rise of China with their digital yuan, that the dollar has to be backed by gold and a cryptocurrency because we cannot survive any longer. So she's an advocate of gold and cryptocurrency. So what I'm telling the family is that now it doesn't sound like a fraud no more, like a con no more. So keep your eyes open, okay? You can go to Coinbase, open up an account, and you can buy as many XRPs, and I also recommend VeChain. Now keep in mind, And the older people, guess what? Tell your grandchildren, right? Tell your kids, hey, check out this cryptocurrency, right? And when you do open up account, just keep in mind, if you open up account, for instance, let's say you have a 500 XRP, and somebody says, send me 200 XRP, I send you 1,000. That's the same thing as somebody telling you, give me $20 and I send you 100. That's not going to happen. So just keep in mind, there's a lot of fraud, right? But you don't send no money to anyone. So peace and blessings. Like cryptocurrency, XRPs, they're used for cross-border payments. The old system is called...
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Thank you. 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday. You get to take the conversation wherever you want it to go. But let's be sure that you have an opinion. You just don't want to get on the air and saunter. You should have something specific that you want to say, and we'll see how people react as they call in at 888-874-4888. Well, just to put one little note in here from myself, I was wondering what you think of current developments with Trump, and there's great concern about his insistence or seeking to have the election delayed and raising all kinds of specters about whether we should trust the outcome of the election. He's also working on another level of getting us to feel unsafe about the process of mail-in ballots, saying that the post office is in such bad shape, we dare not trust it. He's building a case, of course, for just having the results of the election gone and something new, a new election declared, and we know the reasons why. But I was interested in your reaction to this onslaught that he has begun and being very, very open about it and the damage that it is already causing. 888-874-4888. Henry, how are you doing from Chicago?
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay. How's about you?
Oh, we're hanging in there. want to wish everybody and the Lee Stories and PRN audience a happy and productive weekend. And you, Trees, stay safe. I understand there's a storm coming your way, so
yeah,
take the precautions.
But it looks like it's kind of swinging at this time, just off the coast. But that doesn't mean we won't get the effects of it. So we're watching to see whether it keeps that course or whether it changes its mind and says, hey, let me say hello to the people myself.
Yeah, with COVID going on now, you got a storm coming. So, Florida is a very fortunate state right now.
Exactly. We love it.
two things I want to touch on. First thing, I don't know. Did you see any of the funeral of John Lewis yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, so you're probably going to imagine what I'm going to talk about, and it is the comments and speech of one William Clinton, who had his nerve to go up to, and he was invited to talk, and I guess he was running through John Lewis's life, and then he takes a shot at Kwame Ture, saying that, when John Lewis, lost the leadership of SNCC, and Kwame Ture took over, the organization lost its way. And it was just so appalling to have him go up there and take a shot at another person who has did as much as John Lewis has done in the struggle, and trying to pit, you know, two people who gave up their lives to the struggle against each other. You know, this is not a case of, do I pick John Lewis or do I pick Stokely Carmichael, a.k.a. Kwame Ture? Because this is not the thing that we're trying to do. And this divisiveness that, you know, most of these people have, and, you know, Bill Clinton is, you know, is the head of, you know, these white liberals who want to pick our leaders. You know, don't listen to this guy, listen to that guy, you know, and it's just appalling to just listen to him talk, you know, talk about Kwame Ture like that. It just really got to my stomach when I heard that. And at a funeral where, you know, we're supposed to be celebrating the guy's life and his contribution to the movement and his sacrifice, and he goes up there and does something like that. It was just sickening.
Why do you think he did that?
Because I think, you know, just as most of these liberals like to do, they like to pick our leaders. They like to pick our leaders. They like to pick who should we follow. And he was just, you know, he was just doing the same racist thing that most of these people do, you know. No, don't listen to Malcolm X. You need to follow Dr. King. That's the narrative that we get from them. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, the vote. Go ahead.
No, I said continue.
Oh, and then what you just brought up about the, you know, possible, well, Trump dog whistling this, you know, so-called voter fraud, you know, that he is predicting that's going to happen in November.
But he could predict it because he intends to engage in it.
But here's the thing.
That's why he can feel confident talking about voter fraud and presenting himself as the great analyst. He's in the middle of it.
Well,
trying to engineer the outcome of the election.
Yeah, remember when you were talking about him taking an opportunity, you know, in these Democratic cities? Well, he's doing the same thing with the post office because, you know, the post office was not in shape for a very long time. I can still remember back in the Clinton administration, I think they took out like $11 million out of their fund, out of their retirement fund, and they never paid it back. And the post office has been like hanging on a string for a while. But now I think Trump or somebody appointed this postmaster general. And now they're looking to privatize, you know, the post office. And basically what's happening also, too, is that, you know, with all this talk of defunding the police, they're already defunding the post, you know, the post office. There's a lot of people that I talked to in the post office who was talking about, you know, job security, people getting laid off, and people who I know here in Chicago, in the Chicago area, saying that they haven't been getting mail for like 2 weeks because of the fact that they don't have any mail carriers. And so, you know, it's a concern, you know, for the post office, but he's taking advantage of the situation of the post office for all these years being decimated financially, and now he has this opportunity to lean on something that says, well, you know, because I lost, you know, if he loses, because I lost, it was because of mail fraud or absentee balloting, and he doesn't even know what the difference is between the two.
Well, he doesn't understand what happened, and he doesn't care to understand what happened with the post office. The post office is the only, organization of its size that has been compelled to pay workers' benefits in advance.
I think it's 75 years.
How do you expect such an organization under such pressure to have reserves? They can't have reserves. the government acted like a gangster for all these years, compelling the post office. No other organization, no other company has ever been put under such pressure. And they said it was to guarantee the stability of the post office, when in fact, it also coincided with people coming back from serving in the military at war, and many of them were people of color.
Yes.
And could not get any other jobs except the post office gladly embraced them. And that is why you have so many people of color working in the post office. Now, these racist leaders, i.e. Trump, this is the time that Trump is going to go after dismantling the post office so that he creates yet another racial cleavage and he gets rid of all these people who are about to retire or even who have retired to pay their pensions and so forth. But this is the flaw. And it has not been corrected. It has not even been broached. Why would the post office be singled out to pay benefits years in advance? This is not right. And there ought to be a big fight about it once and for all. The second thing about the post office is that Trump sees an opportunity with Bezos and others expanding, you know, Amazon expanding their delivery services. There's a lot of money in it. If you privatize it, it gives him and his cronies a shot at making themselves multi-billionaires in one fell swoop. They take a piece or chunk of the business and everybody's happy. They don't know how to deliver mail. There's one good thing I would say about the post office, and I think most people would agree. I love the post office. I'm in the post office very, very frequently. I know my delivery person who comes here to deliver my mail. I talk to her, and we talk to each other every time we see each other. A very good, cordial relationship. The post office has understood the science of how you get people's mail to them and how you get their mail to other people like no other agency has. So one, the idea is to mash up the post office in such a way. I did a program some time ago about the post office, and it was an eye-opener. Listening to this professor discuss the history of the post office, especially as it related to people of color, and what a transformative effect it had on people coming back from war, lifting people up from poverty into middle class, working class jobs, creating better lives for themselves and their children. How critical the post office has been to people of color in this country, people in general, but especially because they were so deliberately locked out of other avenues of employment. The post office was a critical savior for many people of color in this country. But watch what's going on. Trump is aligning interested parties, and he's part of that, in breaking up the post office under the guise that it's inefficient. Well, it's not inefficient because people don't know what they're doing or that they just can't handle the post office in this day and age. It is being undermined, and it has been undermined, and it has been under attack, singled out to pay benefits ahead of time. And that has destroyed the ability of the post office to be a stable well-run, efficient organization. That's the critical thing, and nobody will touch it. Nobody will touch it. But now we have this new breed coming in, seeing opportunity. If you break up the post office, you have several different Amazon-type possibilities to start up these independently owned delivery services. And there's a lot of money in that. So I think that's why he is going after the post office in particular. And certainly, this racial invective to shut down the possibility of the post office being such a critical element in the employment of people of color in this country. And they get well paid, but they do a good job. Mm-hmm. And we have to stand with the workers, and we have to stand with the post office, and we have to insist that the political leaders protect this valuable resource that we have. And, you know, we've just become so accustomed to it, it's like it's not even there. But we have to animate ourselves and fight this fight. This is a very big fight. There's a lot of money running on this. And of course, you know, it's not coincidental that Trump does not want to have ballots distributed by mail. He does not want voting by mail. If he had his hands on the post office, well, he wins. Because things could mysteriously get lost. Ballots go into the ether. Nobody knows where they end up.
No, I'm already seeing it. I'm already seeing it.
Well, this is the main thing here is that there's a confluence of interest here. It is not about improving the post office. Look, if it comes to improvement, if that is the argument, let's improve the White House. It is the most inefficient, most anti-American institution that we have seen. So that is not a good argument. It's not even an argument. It is a distraction. Trump is the front man. Trump is the front man for an emerging group of entrepreneurs who want to now become spin-offs to compete with Amazon and others who are huge now. There's a lot of money in mail, so they'll break it up. The other thing I did not mention about the post office, which I did also report on, I did a really good program on it, is its real estate. The post office has some of the best real estate in this country. If you go into your city, for example, in Chicago, you will see there'll be one post office at least where you have magnificent artwork done by commissioned artists.
Oh, yes. There's a post office on the south side that has some beautiful artwork in it.
Yes, commissioned as a way of putting people to work, artists to work during the war. Now, Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, somehow mysteriously was able to get her hands on many, many post offices across the country that way. Her husband is in the real estate business. She's in the real estate business. I'll give you one fast example. In New York City, one of the most beautiful post offices is in the Bronx on the Grand Concourse.
Okay.
Right up the hill from Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
All right. You know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. They're going to redesign that hub. And the post office will become the center of the hub as a major hotel. I mean, you have artwork galore by noted artists like Diego Rivera, who did the murals in Rockefeller Center.
Mm-hmm.
So they have long-term vision, and they intend to acquire these post offices. A number of them they shut down and decommissioned. They said, well, the lack of volume. But all of these post offices that have been decommissioned are strategically located, and they have this common characteristic of incredible, priceless, really, artwork in them. And
oh, yeah. You're talking about Diego Rivera. Something. I mean, that's $1 million artwork right there.
Oh, it's put together. This is a multi-billion dollar business. Operating and being organized on the sly. But Feinstein, a senator, Democratic senator, managed to get a huge parcel of post offices, which were mysteriously decommissioned for, you know, lack of volume, lack of use, whatever the excuse was. But it's a scam. These are crooks. These are crooks. They have mm-hmm. their eyes on the post offices. So they've developed a myriad ways of explaining why we need to revamp the postal service for all kinds of reasons, but they're working in sync with each other. One group wants to real estate. One group wants to launch parallel services to Amazon and other delivery systems. But it's all about money. And they will make the argument that, well, the time has come. Post office is archaic. It doesn't have a good structure. But they were the ones, the government were the ones who instituted this ridiculous requirement that the post office contribute their benefits for workers in advance, squeezing them. It's a miracle that the post office has lasted this long. But this is one fight. If I have to crawl out of my bed, I'm going to crawl out. This is a big fight because they're brazen. They're crooked and they're brazen and they're greedy and they don't give a damn about the people. It has That's nothing true. To do, really, about the efficiency of the system. Nothing. It has to do with the post office having so many, in so many ways, the kind of infrastructure that's already there that people, entrepreneurs can build upon and make a ton of money. No question about it. I'm going to return to that subject, by the way, because the program that I did explained the importance of the post office in literally reviving the U.S. economy and providing massive opportunities for people who had no work. And they were black and brown people. They were the ones who ran the post office and did the scut work and kept it alive all these years. Ooh. So that's another benefit. Donald Trump finds it very attractive to attack the post office to get rid of all these black folks.
Yeah, and that's true.
So,
but I'm pretty sure those entrepreneurs that you're talking about are mostly white as well.
I mean, sure that what?
Huh?
I didn't hear the last part of your sentence.
Well, when you were talking about Donald Trump giving the opportunity to entrepreneurs to tear apart the post office, I'm pretty sure most of those entrepreneurs were white.
Oh, They all are white. Not most. They all are. This is big money we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Dianne Feinstein made her move very early. And she and her husband, who's in the real estate business, acquired billions of dollars in terms of properties that immediately became available. She has not yet been investigated, but that is one of the big crimes of this country. This fine, upstanding senator, yeah, and crook.
Yeah.
So I am a staunch supporter of the Postal Service and the postal workers. And we have to stand with them and we have to protect them. And the first thing that must be done was to remove this stupid requirement that they have to contribute to their pension funds 3 years in advance. That is ridiculous. That was the first sign that they were going to dismantle the post office. They would make the conditions so onerous that they would not be able to meet that demand. And yet they did, but they squeezed the workers. And when I say they, I mean the government. Thanks, Henry. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you.
Nathaniel from SoCal, Southern California. You're on the air.
Good morning, Yatrice and PRN listening audience.
Thank you.
Hope you have. Thank you. The theme about the aliens. I've always, lately I've been having this idea that the aliens could help us by helping us rearrange our galaxy, by drawing in the planet Mars into an orbit that is oppositional to Earth. That way it will have the same climate or the same temperature from
the sun. Wait a minute. You're taking us down a very not well-trodden path. So realize that and don't act like we all know what you're talking about.
Oh, I see. Imagine how how we learned about the electrons around the atoms. There are bunches of electrons. Instead of just one plane where the planets orbit the sun, we'd have two or three. And to have Mars moved in by somehow or other, that the aliens would help us learn about, move that planet in so it orbits the sun in a up and down motion instead of a sideways motion. That way it would be the same temperature and we wouldn't have to travel as far. That's all.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's to me, it's
you think you just
idea.
Explained it?
with the right technology.
All right. So what are you advancing here?
You know how all the scientists and the space agencies are trying to go to Mars and it's 6 months out and all this and the other. I'm just saying we should have the means, if we were smart enough, but helped by the aliens that people are talking about today, to aim an anti-gravitational field to Mars and bring it in closer in the same orbit as Earth. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And that way we could just colonize Mars and real easy. I know it's just
having real trouble here just with the mechanics of connection. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that's my wondering. I can repeat it some other time. You can have another call if you wish.
Okay, Nathaniel, I thank you for your generosity here, but we need it. We need your generosity. Something is, we're not mm-hmm. getting a really good connection with you today.
Okay, no problem. I hope the aliens were listening.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your
have
generosity.
A wonderful weekend, yes.
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Eutrace, I want to celebrate the post office. I remember I grew up in the Great Depression, and my father is the foundation stone of my family, and he worked in the post office. I never had a hungry day in my life, and people used to tell my mother that we were very prosperous because I was not skinny and hungry. And so I love the post office, and I want to just get that out. The other thing I want to talk about is what I heard today when I heard excerpts of the talks by the various presidents at John Lewis's funeral ceremony. I kept hearing the word democracy over and over and over again. And what got to me is that it's like drilling something into someone's head, being redundant, and being redundant about something that is not true. We don't live in a democracy here. As far as I'm concerned, this is a plutocracy run by a few people in a one-party state. And when you hear about people giving millions and millions of dollars to the campaigns for president, how could you possibly have a democracy where the masses of people benefit from this democracy? No way do people want to be poor or near poor, as half the people in the country are. If they had a democracy, would they choose to be in that state of poverty or near poverty? Of course not. So people have to get it through their head, no matter how much the ruling class that runs this place with the fraud of saying we have a democracy is successful in controlling the people and having even poor people walking around thinking that they have a democracy. This is not Switzerland. This is not Switzerland where people vote on things. This is not a representative democracy. Those people who are in the Congress, those 535 people in there, most of them do not represent the people. They represent those people who give them those checks for those bribes called campaign contributions. So people need to wake up and stop talking nonsense about a democracy that you do not have.
Well, okay. You had your Wheaties this morning.
Absolutely.
You have so much energy in your speech today. But I agree with you. I agree with you. It is hard to disagree with the points that you made today. Thank you very much, David, for your call and your input. We still have a bit more time to go. 888-874-4888. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Hello, Willie.
How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in.
I was just hearing a little kibble, a little, you know, shack, because I'm on the plantation. I just said to myself, these people are trying to get me fired because I have to be laughing. You know, of the last thing, the last caller, when you asked, you know, so, because it was funny to me, because does that mean you explain it? I mean, I was just dying. I almost fell on the floor. But anyway, you forgot to mention the Social Security also, because they're already doing it in Brooklyn. They've already taken over the real estate of that, the post. You did a program on that already. So I just wanted to point it out. You forgot that the Social Security and some schools, because I'm seeing them putting up.
Oh, yeah, but I was talking specifically about the post office.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, but it's not just. But you did
because the post office has something that many of the other buildings don't have. For one thing, it I'm talking about the architectural value.
Awesome.
And the artistic value and the locations of the post offices. They are strategically located. Go back to the one in the Bronx. It's right in the middle of everything.
Right.
And you'd find that the post offices of that type have that in common, strategically located. In the eyes of a real estate person,
right,
as they
right.
say in the business, it's location, location, location. And what they want more than anything else is to decommission post offices. These majestic buildings could be replaced by, you know, just ordinary things that they could throw up, build in a matter of weeks. But these post offices took a long time to construct because they were built by special people,
people
in the arts who studied.
Yeah.
I mean, when you understand what went into building post offices in that era, it was just a magnificent thing. If you have any time, folks, if you have some time, make it a point to tour the post offices in your city, especially those built in that era. And you can't but admit that this is masterful work. These were buildings were crafted in ways that today, I mean, you wouldn't get a building reflecting the artistic aspect and the architectural expertise of the post offices of yesterday.
But you did a program on it too. But it's the Social Security office, the post office, and the libraries. It's the real estate also. That's what they were going after. So people who listen to this program should already know that. Now I'm going to say something. I know you may not agree with me, but Donald Trump will still be the president. All of what, from listening to your program on PRN, it's just a game they're playing. And as far as democracy is concerned, when
Donald Trump is going to be the president, he's going to be reelected, according to you?
Yes. Yes, yes. It's just a game they're playing, you trees.
Well, I don't know. I don't know one way or the other. All I'm interested in is what are we doing? I don't care whether he's, you know, for that matter, elected or not elected. I'm interested in what we do in this period that we have to affect the outcome. Are we doing all that we can do to affect the outcome?
Well, you've also pointed that out that we have to protect ourselves and take care of ourselves. That's all we could do. What else can we do? Because the games, it's rigged.
People have to just, you know, understand what is at stake. And if in understanding what is at stake, truly understanding what is at stake here.
Our survival.
We choose to do nothing, we deserve it.
It's our survival. We have to be fighting for survival and do everything in our powers to maintain our survival. That's the bottom line.
But it's not just thinking, you know. Right now, people are saying, well, I think he'll get elected again, or I don't want him to get elected again. Neither of these things is important.
Exactly.
Your opinion is unimportant in this time. What is important is how much energy are you investing in what you think?
How motivated
are you to bring to realization those things that you think? Other than that, I don't care about your opinion. We opine all the time. We're the most opining people on the planet.
That's correct. Yes.
But it is, the record shows that we do not take our opinions so seriously that we are willing to put the muscle behind it.
And money.
The muscle and the money.
Yes.
Whatever it takes. We do not invest heavily in what we say we profess.
That is correct.
So people saying, well, I don't want Trump to be elected. Okay, well, that's one thing. I'm not asking you what you think about the re-election of Donald Trump. I'm asking, what are you doing about it?
Trump.
And if you're not doing anything about it, just shut up. Conversely, if you are very serious in your analysis of what the future would hold under a re-election of Trump, I would ask you the same question. What are you doing about it to bring about that outcome? We talk too much and do too little.
True.
That's been the history.
We talk.
Other people, and you know, I'm hoping that you're not offended by my example, but the people who are collectively known as backers or people who are supporters or donors, they're backing up. They're backing up with their funds and whatever else they have that is of value. They're backing up what they want, what they believe is possible to bring this election to a certain end. The certain end being that they get exactly what they want. They are investing.
Investing.
What are we doing?
We're making X's and expect
what?
The outcome. We're making X's election time and expect to be rewarded for it.
Well, you know, so why would I want to waste time discussing that?
Exactly.
I want to talk to people who are doing things.
No, it was because you raised that question about the Trump. You know, that's why I responded, because I have no interest in that kind of stuff anyway, because I know what it's all about, you know.
Well, we have to get serious with our own community.
Exactly.
And say to people, if you are not willing to back up what you profess, get out of the way.
Exactly.
Or shut up. Or shut up and get out of the way. Because this is very serious.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to the end of our program today. I thank you all for sharing your ideas and your views as confidently as you have, meaning you trust us to regard it and to keep it close to our vest as valuable information. I thank you for that. And we'll see each other hopefully on Monday. In the meantime, stay safe. Be very clear about what it is you have to do and what you have to do it. But do it. Bye-bye.